This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your recap episode for this week's Mayakoba Championship. And joining me to break it all down, Mark Immelman is here. Mark, good to have you.
Good to be here. It's always a great day when the Falcons beat the Saints. Even though it was nasty looking, they came through with a W. So yours truly is in a good mood.
There were a lot of strange outcomes in the NFL on Sunday. So it was, it's crazy. Greg Ducharme is here. Greg! Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday to you too. Crazy day in the NFL. Some bizarre games going on. And in golf, it was not crazy. It was, you know, our expected winner and our friend Vic Hovland getting the job done. So congratulations to him.
Victor Hovland wins the Mayakoba Championship and successfully defends his title. It was a Sunday 67 in what, Mark, turned out to be a little bit of a rout. At one point, this got to a five-shot lead on Sunday. It finishes four shots clear of the rest of the field, and we know that he was dealing with a little adversity, new driver shaft, had a bad break off a sprinkler head earlier in the week. This could have been a lot better for Victor.
Yeah, it was complete. And I've got to say this. I'm going to go on the record and I'm going to say this because I know from when I first saw Colin Morikawa play in college, I was like, this boy's special. He's proved it. He's won multiple majors. He's sort of been the class of this young crew that has come out here recently, obviously comparing him to Victor Hovland and to Matthew Wolff, amongst others. But I got to tell you, the way Hovland played today, I know the golf course was easy, and it wasn't major championship type stuff. But when you go in there as a defending champion, there's added pressure. And when you have the adversity, like, look, the guy broke his driver shaft on a golf course where you have to drive it well. And he picked up a backup and hit the thing like God, really. I for a little while thought, wait a second. I don't think Morikawa has outdistanced himself that much. Sure, he's won some big events. But Victor Hovland, to me, looked absolutely complete. It's always hit his irons great. We know that. We know he can drive the ball well, but everything else started to fall into place, and it looks like he's gaining this momentum. And man, the way he putted coming down the stretch, that is what major champions do. So I'm so keen to see what happens with him as we now venture farther into the season, now with three wins under his belt.
Absolutely. I don't necessarily love to compare Colin to Victor, but I think it's a great point to make here, Greg, because Morikawa, he was just boom, right out of the gate, you know, winning major championships. Victor, he just seems to be getting better, right? We know the short game and the around the green play is a place that he struggled with. The stats bear that out. He's told us that countless times. You're seeing strong improvement there. You're seeing the putter continue to get more consistent. His forearms look way more massive than I've ever seen before. He just seems like he's growing into not only his body, but his game right now.
Yes, and he has a makeup to allow that to happen. Because the full swing has been so reliable and there's nothing that needs to be changed there, which is quite obvious. Again, as Mark said, statistics bear that out. He is an elite ball striker on the PGA Tour, no question about it. And when you have that kind of foundation and you have these areas like putting and short game that need work, you spend a little more time on them. And he has a really, really reliable golf swing. And it allows him, in my opinion, in his practice, to spend a little more time with the short game and with the putting. And what he did with the putting this week was unique. But he has been a pretty good putter. The putting has not been as much of a concern as it has been for Colin Morikawa. He rolls it really nicely. It's a really nice stroke. So I have far fewer concerns about his putting than I do about his short game. The short game's still of concern to me. I know he hit some great chips and some great pitches this week. I still think there's a little work to be done there. And I think the surface of the grass really helped this week. The Pass Palom is one of the best surfaces. The ball sits so nicely on it, and it's a great surface to chip off of. So I do think that helped him this week. But there's definitely improvements going on. So good for him. The future is bright. There's no question about it. And he knows, and he said it even in his interview afterwards with, I believe it was with George Savarikas. He said, I still need to work on the short game. And that's a really positive thing for me. I don't think he thinks he's got it figured out yet. And to your point, Rick, it just keeps on getting better.
I tell you what I'd like to add there, Rick, to what Greg observed was Victor, and this field was strong. All right. I know it's a resort place on an easier, wet, soft, receptive golf course, but this was a pretty sharp field. He knocked off and he left them in his wake, to your observation. Yeah. But the thing about Victor, from my brief encounters with him, is he's wonderfully unassuming. And every single one of these guys, every great athlete, really, they're always striving for better. But some of them, you know, majority of them, in my opinion, when they get to a certain level, it's like, okay, I've arrived, I'm the man kind of thing. I do not see that with Victor. He's now three wins in, and he's still the same smiley, unassuming, kind of self-deprecating, in a way, champion. And I think his upbringing, just his manner, are going to help him keep his nose to the grindstone and almost keep things in perspective, because stuff starts changing when you're a multiple winner. Stuff starts changing when you win major championships and those sorts of things and FedEx Cups. And he's going to be a factor. We all know this now. And I don't think it's going to go to his head. And if it doesn't go to the athlete's head, there's two things that I always wish on players: no injury, and don't let the stuff get inside of your head, good and or bad. And it just looks like he just takes everything in his stride, and it's refreshing to see. And I tell you what, it's an unmentioned weapon for an athlete.
He's comfortable in his own skin.
And, underneath that smile is a guy who is very self-motivated, who looks for things to turn into inspiration. Next time I talk to him, I guarantee it. Snapping that driver shaft on Wednesday is now like, okay, well, I'll just go out and win this with somebody else's driver shaft. Like, he takes these little nuggets and he turns them into fuel. And we saw that this week. Last guy to successfully defend any title we know was Brooks Koepka 2019 PGA Championship. Any guesses, unless you already know the answer to this, as the guy who did it before Brooks Koepka? If you looked at the outline, you might know.
Yeah,
I
looked at the outline. So cheating, but Paul Casey.
Paul Casey at the Valspar. It's basically something that has only been done, 10, 15 times in the last 10 years. So there is a mindset to that, Greg, right? Knowing that you are not only coming back with a target on you, but now, especially this week where Mayakoba, this was the strongest field this event has ever had. It's just different coming in as the defending champion.
Yes, the Koepka one is really impressive to me because it's at, one, it's a major, two, it's at a different venue, and three, he also did it at the U.S. Open. So when you have the venue change, and this is what we talked about for the Houston Open with Lonto Griffin, there's all the negative sides where you come in as the defending champ and you're looked at a little differently. You're definitely in a featured group. You're the defending champion. There's a lot more obligation to have with that, but you don't have the same golf course. So your advantages are taken away and you don't have those same fond memories because it's different. It's a new tournament with more pressure. But one of the big advantages here is he is going to the same golf course, which helps. And yes, there's a little more pressure and there's more ancillary things to deal with. But and he told you, Rick, in your podcast with him that he feels like a veteran here, and because he's been here a couple times now, and it's a place he feels very comfortable and he feels at home, and it goes a long way. And it showed even after the first round where he played a nice round. It was fine, but he wasn't the favorite going into the second round, and he just kind of went off over the weekend, Friday, Saturday, and what we saw again today. So he was able to take control of the tournament in those middle two rounds. And then you go in again as the overnight leader feeling like, hey, is this really going to happen again? And now some memories start to come back. So it was really cool to see, but it's not easy to do, and it's a rare thing.
It's an interesting dynamic, Mark, and we'll move on to Carlos Ortiz here in just 1 second. But this is Victor's first victory by more than a stroke. And basically for the entire second nine, he knows he is 3-4, sometimes even 5 shots clear. And that is a mental wrestling match that you have going on. I wonder if there was a lot of comfort with not only his caddy, Shea Knight, but also with Taylor Gooch being in the final group, another Oklahoma State guy, to really just kind of focus on the task at hand and get this thing done.
I'm sure they might have been. I'm not sure they played on the same team together, but obviously they're brothers in arms because of their allegiance to Oklahoma State. But, you know, when you're in that final group and you're competing for a title, wherever you are, best friends, whatever, you're trying to knock the other guy's block off, let's be honest. And so there was some of that going on. And I thought Victor kept to his job very, very well. Let's not forget that both the other wins that he had, he made birdies on the final hole to close the thing out. But here he could walk up the final fairway and sort of enjoy it a little bit. But what caught my attention was he had like 15 feet or so, maybe, for birdie on the last hole, and he had the 3 or 4 stroke advantage, and he went through the entire green reading routine. And I was like, whoa, if this was me, I would have stepped up, had a look, brushed the thing down there, tapped in the next one, and got out and went and got the celebration on the go. But he went through the entire routine, and it spoke to me of someone who knows exactly what he's got to do, someone who takes great delight and pride in his craft, and someone who understands that there's value to every stroke, no matter whether you got the big lead or not. And that was just so impressive, you know, because it's easy to get caught up in the emotion of the thing on the final hole, but he didn't. And he finished the job. He ran through the proverbial tape, and that speaks a lot to where he is mentally to me.
Third PGA Tour victory for Victor Hovland, fourth worldwide. He will be the 10th ranked player in the world on Monday morning. Congrats to Victor. Let's talk about the rest of this leaderboard. And I got to start here with you, Greg, because Mark had Carlos Ortiz in his one and done. So I'm just going to try to put this off for as long as possible. Carlos Ortiz finishes solo second thanks to a Sunday 66. But when I look at his week, it was well-rounded for 4 days. 67, 65, 67, 66. Played well again on Sunday. When he gets going, when he really starts piling it up, he's very, very competitive out on this tour.
Yeah, he's a very well-rounded player. And he is especially good tee to green, which is where this golf course really asks for that. It's really a great ball striker's test, because some of the tee shots can be a little bit intimidating. It's not, you know, there's trouble on both sides, but there is room. But still, that's why we always see in the statistics that driving accuracy is a little bit more important than distance out here. There are guys who kind of plotters who can keep the ball in play who end up doing really well. The thing that impresses me about Carlos Ortiz is his ability approaching the green. He was hitting over 75% of his greens of regulation heading into this week, and it had led to some really, really nice play. Aside from the WD at the Zozo, he played some nice rounds at the CJ Cup, coming in tied 25th there, 65, 67, 68 in his final three rounds. And at the Shriners, even though it's a T47, it's still three really, really solid rounds, 69, 66, 72, 69. And his missed cut at the Sanderson Farms was just simply a pair of 71s. So he's had seemingly one round that has held him back during this year so far. But this week he didn't have that. It was really consistent right from the start, even though he did make in the first round, he did make a double bogey on the 16th hole, which was a little bit disappointing. That 67 could have been better, and it could have been a little bit tighter, but he got hot. He got hot on Sunday on the second nine. And it just looked like he was having so much fun with it, which was cool to watch. But he's a very solid ball striker and a lovely iron player.
$750,000, Mark. That's what Solo second will get you. What is that all? We'll get you for Carlos Ortiz, and just in the nick of time, because he's not only playing well, he is, speaking of defending next week in Houston. So no better time than now.
Something you need to build into rickrungood.com is biorhythms. Guys play well in certain times of the year. And I talked about this in the setup pod for this event earlier this week. But here's the thing to me about Ortiz. He has the luxury because he was the star out of Mexico at one stage. You know, there was Roberto Diaz, who was decent in college, played here at a Division II school. But Carlos came out and was the player of the year on the Corn Ferry Tour, won three times, got the Battlefield promotion. The world was expected of him. Got on the tour and sort of was shown up a little bit, lost his card, and then had to get into the grind. But now he has the luxury of playing almost in Abraham Answer's shadow because Carlos is good. And all of my brushes with him, I'm taken at the fact that he has this thing about him that he really can shoot low scores. Now, I know that sounds a bit trite, but this boy is not afraid of taking 4 or 5 under, which is a good round, and turning it into 6, 7, 8, because he plays that sort of a game. Now, you could pin it on the ball striking or whatever, but it just never looks to me like he's afraid of anything. And now that he's playing in Answer's shadow some, it looks like he can freewheel some more. And he had some unreal shots coming down the stretch. But more importantly today, the boy was a banshee on the greens, which is, he's kind of a thing. When he won at Houston last year, I was covering it for PGA Tour Live, and he went bananas on the final day. Now, again, my experiences on the weekend, if he's just got a freewheeling, he can fill it up from all corners. And I feel like on a Sunday, he's not going to back down. He just is not going to. And so I know I'm looking ahead some, and I've spoken about it some, but as a potential President's Cupper, he would be dynamite as a partner, and I don't think he would back down against anybody. We saw that today with Justin Thomas playing alongside.
This is why, Rick, you could definitely speak to this as well, but this is why the model is the way the model is. Because when these guys who are really solid ball strikers, and I wouldn't put Carlos Ortiz in the Victor Hovland, Colin Morikawa camp, no. but he's very good. When you take a guy who's a very good ball striker and they start to see it on the greens, they can go, and it gets really scary. It's like one domino has to fall and all of a sudden you have 61 or 62 or 60, you know, a pair of 65s or something like that. And it's scary and it's cool to see. So that's where what I see with Carlos is he is, such a solid iron. He gives himself so many good looks, and all of a sudden he starts to see it going in and he gets excited. And he's one of those players, to your point, Mark, that's hoping for more holes. He's not hoping the clubhouse when he gets under par. He's not hoping the clubhouse comes soon because I want to protect my 4 under round. He's hoping there's more. I want to make more birdies. And that it sounds easier said than done. It sounds easy. Like, oh, of course you're playing great. You want to keep on going. But there are a lot of players, and I've been this way myself, where, hey, I'm good at four. I want to get in. Let's get in. Let's not mess this up. He definitely does not have that attitude.
Yeah, it's a curious thing for all the golfers listening, that ability to kind of leave first base and try and steal second. Because when you're 4 under, 3 under, whatever it might be on the tour, 3 under is a good day. If you do 69 every day, you can have yourself a happy career. But to leave that and still play, not stupidly aggressive, cautiously aggressive, but you take your chances and you roll putts at the hole. But the ability to do that is the ability to put aside what might happen and just go, well, I see the shot, I'm going to go. And Ortiz has that. And you can't teach that sort of stuff because you either have like a performance sort of a mindset or an avoidance kind of a mindset. And when he gets going, it's just all about go. It's so cool to watch. There are very few guys who are like that.
Solo third goes to Justin Thomas. Did not have himself the Sunday he was looking to have, Greg, but I think if you would have asked him on his 12th hole on Thursday morning, if he would take solo third, I think he'd be pretty thrilled with that, because here's what happened. First 11 holes of the week, Justin Thomas 3 over par. At that point, dead last. Played his final 61 at 21 under to finish solo third.
He's unbelievable. This guy's unbelievable. I mean, there you when you watch Victor Hovland play, it looks like he looks rock solid tee to green. He looks sometimes he's great on the greens, sometimes he's just good on the greens, but it doesn't seem like there's a glaring weakness with the putter for him. Short game is a weakness we discussed, but with JT, I look at it, I say, okay, I'm not sure what I'm going to get off the tee. He might be a little errant. You'll see him lose it, right? I mean, he hit a couple shots that were wayward. He's famous for the big point, and right. He's missed left under pressure. He's missed right under pressure on the greens. I watch him putt, and I know he's going to miss to the right. If he's got a putt that breaks to the right, I know he's going to miss it right, and he does all the time. And these are like these glaring weaknesses, and it's third. Solo third, and he should have won. And he looks back, I should have won this turn. He is so good. The other areas of his game are so good. Those weaknesses just don't seem to really matter. It's amazing. I mean, a guy who misses as many putts as he does to the right still shoots the scores he shoots time and time and time again. It's amazing. He blows my mind.
Greg, my dear boy, pump the brakes just a little bit. Yeah,
it fires me up because I'm a huge fan. And watching him, I'm
we all fans because you get these generational talents that come along. And here's the thing: he is one of those. Third place. Where look, when the rinse cycle ends, he's and he gets on the plane on the way home tonight. He'll be like, you know, I'm aggravated, but that's not too bad for my first time out and how long, and I was three over and that sort of thing. And yeah, there's a lot of good. But Justin Thomas defines himself by victories and trophies on the mantelpiece. And if you're hanging out with Tiger Woods and you go and visit him at his place down there in Jupiter, you see lots of those trophies and things and you hear lots of stories.
Puny.
Yeah, right? Exactly. And so Justin is aspiring to that sort of thing. And yes, the one similarity is where when Woods was bad, he would still contend. And Justin Thomas showed us that. But Tiger Woods, lovingly, was not playing in Mayakoba. Every event he was playing in was just loaded with elite players. And so Justin, he's so good. I mean, I've got many memories of calling him live, the 59 and this sort of stuff, where I'm looked in my, I'm just like, wow. But it's time for him to start closing. Now, maybe it's the addition of bones to the bag. I'm not so sure, but there's still a little going to go there, I think. And I know he's making strides in the short game with John Graham, but he needs to start closing out a little bit more now to make him happy.
One other thing on this, that because I agree with you, Mark, it feels like there's a little too much disappointment, which is a testament to him and all of his abilities, because a guy with 15 wins say he's got to start closing sounds crazy. But when you watch, that's the way you feel. So there were a couple of moments for me. The three putt at five was a crusher, because you get off to a little bit of a slow start. He makes bogey at two. That's okay. It can happen, but you get to a par five, you hit it in two with a great five wood in there. And now this is the turning point and you three putt. And you feel when I'm watching that, I'm saying that just ended his chances. It completely ends his chances. Then he birdies six, but hold a great putt. Oh, well, you're thinking one, what could have been, but two, maybe it didn't end his chances. Gets on seven. He's going for the green in two, hits it into the trees, ends his chances again, makes birdie.
Unbelievable birdie, by the way.
Unbelievable birdie. What is that? Bogey's 12 and then birdie's 13. So he has this fight that is extremely impressive to me. And it's that fiery, I'm expecting to win. I'm not expecting to earn a paycheck. And he has that kind of grit that I also think you can't teach. Not dissimilar to what we said about some of the guys who can hold their breath and keep going, keep making birdies and keep going lower and lower. He has the ability to write off mistakes that he makes, errors that he makes, and he doesn't let it get in his head. And that, I talk about this all the time, but that miss to the right that's so consistent on the greens, mm-hmm. the concern as a coach with that is that turns into a miss to the left sometimes too. And now you're in this choice. Am I going to play putts because knowing that I'm going to miss right, am I going to adjust my read or am I going to continue to and now all when you do that, now your good putts miss left. So it can really get into your head. And if any of us were in that situation, it would get into our head. But he has this ability to he doesn't care. He's just going to keep on trudging forward and keep on hitting great putts and great shots and keep on making birdies and keep contending. So he's a very, very curious case to me.
Yeah, there's no doubt that Justin Thomas could fall out of bed and win on the tour. There's no doubt about that. But that comes with its own mental challenges. And two things I want to highlight quickly, and then we can put a bow on it. First off, when you've had a 5-win season as he has, as Jordan Spieth has, you know, it's a precipitous fall from there because when you're winning and everything's easy, it's like, well, I'm just going to tee it up and go and win again. But then when you start missing and you're not winning and you're not making conversions and then you spend a lead and you're in contention and you make an untimely mistake like a Scheffler or whatever did, that stuff starts to, you know, stack up against one in one's psyche. So that's a battle that I think Justin Thomas can win because he sort of watched Jordan Spieth do it as well. But yes, the thing too, you heard Victor Hovland talking about the right miss on the greens now for Thomas. You heard Hovland after his round saying, look, I've improved around the greens and it's taken pressure off the rest of my game. And Thomas is a prolific iron player. We know that. He's just one of the very best, you know, anywhere from about 175 yards away and in. But when you start missing a bunch of short putts and then you miss the other green, then that turns into bogey. Then you try to start trying to force the issue a little bit more too. And that has a knock-on effect. So look, I'm not the prophet of doom here. I don't want to come across that, but this is the stuff to bear in mind. And I believe Thomas can circumvent.
I'll take the very optimistic bow on top of Justin Thomas and say he played pretty poorly for 27 holes and finished third. I think he's going to be just fine. And Dan D, let's talk Taylor Gooch. We don't talk a lot about Taylor Gooch, but Greg, we talked about this on Monday on the DFS preview because he has been stout. He has been piling up great finishes. Unfortunately for him, his Sunday did not go as he would have liked it. It was a Sunday 74. It was 3 over par. He was in the final group. He ends up finishing T11, and the low light was the double that he made on 18. And in the last couple of times we've seen Taylor Gooch in the final group, this has been the type of result. It's obviously one of those situations where you got to keep knocking at the door. Eventually the door opens up. Gooch is putting himself in some really good spots, just has to kind of find it on a Sunday.
Which is not easy to do again, but maybe the way that he's going to win for the first time is what he did at the CJ Cup. Maybe he's a little bit closer and shoots 62 on Sunday and posts a number and wins. Maybe he can do something like that. There's a different step between winning the way some have, but you know, the chasing mentality. We've talked about that a lot where you're able to kind of freewheel. Carlos Ortiz was able to freewheel today, for instance, and winning the way Victor Hovland did, which is having the 54 hole lead or being in the final group and extending and performing when you know you should win, which is extremely challenging. But he has all the tools. He has all the tools to win. Last year, about this time, maybe closer to January, he was a guy I thought would really have a breakout year. I really liked where his game was going, and it was a good year, but it wasn't the breakout year I expected. We didn't get a win. We didn't really get that many contentions. And so I was expecting a little more out of him, but I'm wondering if I'm just a year behind and this is his year to break out. Cause he's an excellent iron player. The golf swing is gorgeous. I love watching him play. I love watching that golf swing. It's so simple. But yet the driver could still, he could tighten up the driver a little bit. That would be a really big step for him. And then around the greens and on the greens, he's better than average. So I really like where his game is. I think it's trending in the right direction. And my expectation is that he gets a win at some point here soon. I think he can do it.
Yeah, it might be next week. Greg, because last 2 years in Houston, fourth and fourth, playing as well as he is right now. Maybe he just breaks through next week. Mark, I'll give you a little potpourri. Do you want Scottie Scheffler or Matthew Wolf?
What, to talk about or for the rest of the year?
Not just to talk about.
Look, I'll go with Scheffler. And just to talk about Gooch just real fast. I'm watching Twitter right now and everyone's like, oh, you know, everything's a skill, not just green reading, in response to the green reading rule. And everyone's coming out with, it's a skill to do this and it's a skill to do that. Well, I want to say that it's a skill to win. And he was decent in college, but as an amateur, he only had like, I think it was one, you know, win of note. And winning is certainly a skill. And he's come up a little shy in contention. And you, to certain folks, there's so much to deal with mentally, emotionally. There's just a whole lot on the go when you're in contention for an event. And I almost feel like for his own good, you know, you'd like to back into a win, kind of like Greg said, where you post and wait. But I think for his own good, being in the final group and being stuck in the turmoil of it all and coming out trumps, that would probably be the best thing for his development as a player, because he has got ample physical gifts. I mean, that boy can hit it. Trust me, he's a hitter. But he's got to learn to win. And the only way you really learn to win is when you have to hold off folks, when you have to sort of bob and weave and ebb and flow and such. And so I hope for his sake that his first win, when and if it comes, is in that fashion. And then to Scotty. I was really high on Scheffler this week. I was surprised at some of the missteps coming down the stretch there, because he plays in Texas. He's used to wins and he's a gutsy sort, and he just seems to be going from strength to strength. I think it's imminent. It is absolutely imminent for Scottie Scheffler. And the thing that's so refreshing to me about him is that he just does Scotty. You know, there's no stuff about him. He doesn't look like he's comparing himself to anyone. I mean, imagine playing as under Jordan Spieth's shadow and sort of being the bridesmaid to Spieth your entire career. Everywhere he went, right? And he just, he's never changed anything, and he doesn't. And he's advised by Randy Smith, who's taught many a great golfer, Justin Leonard, for argument's sake. So I think it's imminent that Scheffler will come through and get a victory, and then he'll start to realize too, okay, I'm good. I'm really good enough to compete. I think he knows it, but that inside belief, that deep down in my soul thing, is all he needs for him to become a multiple winner.
Scheffler with a Sunday 66, another one of these guys that can just get absolutely scorching hot. He birdied 5 in a 6-hole stretch from 3 to 8. That momentum stumbled with a double at 16. He finishes solo 4th at 17 under par. Gentlemen, we've got to do our odds and ends. Ooh, best bets, not pretty. One and done, a little bit better. We're going to take a look at that, but first we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
And we're back. Best bets. 0-4. We stink.
0-4, really? Yeah. You.
Coach had Horschel over Scheffler. Nope. Mark, you had Graham McDowell as the top Irishman. You got Seamus. Seamus Power got you.
Terrible. Happy for Seamus, but bad for me.
Which doesn't even make sense, because maybe it's North. How does that work, Jacob? Because Seamus is Republic of Ireland.
Yeah, let's revisit this.
yeah, but it's not Northern Irishmen.
No, I think
what
it's
is it?
It's Ireland altogether, usually. I mean, they...
Okay, so it was Seamus that got him.
Rory would be included in that.
Yeah, they lump Rory into those as well.
Okay, just making sure. So I didn't want you to get...
I'm sitting in a petition now.
Yeah, we need to not go into further detail.
I was trying to find a win anywhere that I could. I had Will Zalatoris over Matthew Wolf. Kyle had... This is a tough one. Because Kyle had Gooch over Lowry and Wolf, which Gooch had all day long.
And then he doubled the last.
And Greg, you just made out like a bandit because you didn't make a pick. So you're really the big winner this week.
Yeah, I'm a push. Sometimes I just looked at that board. I didn't like it. I didn't like any of them. I'm kidding.
I wish I abstained as well. What it done. Okay. Oof, we've got some movement. We only picked three different golfers this week. At the bottom, Sia Nijat went with Aaron Wise. He got 109,800, moves his season-long total to 394,450. Kyle also went with Aaron Wise, moved his season-long total to $527,052. Greg Ducharme, you were the third and final member of the team to go with Aaron Wise. 109,000 for T15. Your season long total now 1.9 million. But were you wishing, did you have bigger dollar dreams when Wise was going out as one of the first round leaders and was really in this thing for two rounds?
Yeah. I mean, it was looking so good. He was on fire early. He was the guy chasing down Kirk, in the first round. And it was, I do this another game on a different show. And I had, it's not a one and done. It's just, you can pick a player at any time and everybody gets one guy. And I had, and there's an order. So you can't have the same, two people can't have the same guy. And JT was still on the board. And I wanted Aaron Wise so bad. And I teeter tottered and I ended up going with JT, and early I was kicking myself. I knew Wise was the guy. Aaron Wise is the guy this week. He's just glowing there in front of me. Why did I go with JT? Turned out to be the right play, but Aaron Wise looked like the play all week. I can't kick myself for this. Maybe you could, it's always easy to say you should have had Hovland. But, the one reason why you don't pick Hovland is because he won last year. And it's so rare that you get a defending champ to win. So that might be the one thing, the one kicker. But ultimately, it was the right pick. And just because he didn't have the best of weekends, this is golf. What can you do?
The next three slots belong to Coach Jacob and myself. We all had Billy Horschel, T33, 37,594, moving our season long totals for the coach to 1.9 million, for producer Jacob to 2.33, and I edge him out at 2.36. But the big winner of the week is the man who is already at the top of the leaderboard. That's him, Mark Immelman, who went with Carlos Ortiz, solo second, $784,800 to move your season-long total, Mark, to 4.2 million, too clear of the rest of the chase pack.
You guys need a Players' Championship to catch up with me right now.
We're six events in.
Yep. Hey, and my boy one putted, I think, five of the last six greens, including like a 25-footer on the last for par, to get solo second. It was fun to watch. But he was showing to me, like Greg said earlier in the tournament Thursday, he was alongside Abraham, Anser, and Sergio Garcia, and just cruising along, hitting decent shots, didn't get much airtime, but he was sort of lurking at two, and then he made a few birdies, and all of a sudden got to like six, and then made a double. But just, was always moving forward, even despite the mistake. It didn't look like it got him down, and today I think he rode some of the home fans' emotion, and man, what a back nine. Last six holes he put on to get that second solo.
Mark's had three separate weeks this year. No, four separate weeks in which he's made at least $760,000. McNeely got you $805,000 at the Fortinet. Wolf got you $763,000 at the Shriners. Hideki got you the full $1.8 million at the Zozo. And Carlos Ortiz got you $784,000. It's been an unbelievable start. But there is, we are not even 8% through this season, are we?
Hey, where's our commissioner? Because he was all like, oh, and I'm going to have like event for like the first six events, there'll be a prize and there'll be a prize after halfway. I'm like, dude, where are you? I've not heard a peep from him in the last, I don't know, weeks.
Okay, Greg, is there anything is there anything worse than when Mark's leading the one and done? Because he just never lets us forget this.
No, there's nothing worse. There's nothing worse.
I train myself that this I do not have much competition anymore. I'm no longer a college coach. I don't play anymore. This is the only competition I get, man. Come on.
This is the heat of the battle for you. This is it.
This is the heat of the battle for us too, and we don't like losing.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
But we need this to average out. We need this thing to start to settle down in our favor.
Take a few weeks off, Greg. I'll take the last two events off. You want that? I'll put myself in the penalty box.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Why don't you just
take Carlos Ortiz again in Houston? That's what we need.
Do a Kyle move.
We need to start adding like the Bryson Brooks match. Like that'll be like $8 million or whatever. We'll just add that. Flip a coin for that. We'll figure it out. But those are the current standings. Mark, $4.2 million at the top of the list, gentlemen. Before we get out of here on Mayakoba and turn our attention to Houston, and we've got two regular events left. We're going to go Houston RSM Classic. There will be a Hero World Challenge. We'll have the Brooks and Bryson match the Friday after Thanksgiving. So there's plenty of golf coming up. But gentlemen, before we get out of here and put a bow on Mayakoba, anything else before we do?
Yeah, so I want to see Mayakoba. That place looks unreal. I mean, I love the Mayan Riviera, but that place looks peachy. Oh, I gotta go.
Did you see? It looks like there are. I don't know if they're villas, but I guess when you stay on the resort, like your little room backs up into that body of into the river. There, it's like your own private boat. Little.
Yeah, you get that by boat. Dang, nice.
That looks.
Yeah, it's really cool. I agree. It's been kind of added to my list of I love the tropical scene like that. It just has such a cool feel, and I would love to go to a resort like that. And when you have a golf course like that to go to, that definitely helps.
I think producer Jacob, we should go do a few podcasts from down there. Huh? Rick, you can do the reads. We can do the rest.
Yeah, let's go. So go on, where's ad sales? Let's get ad sales on this. The other thing is, did you guys notice the trophy was updated this year?
Colorful. Awesome.
Amazing. Yeah. You can't have a chameleon be all white or whatever like it was last year. It got the full upgrade to the full color version. It is a top-notch trophy now.
Yeah. Where does that rank for you, Rick? I know you're a big trophy guy.
It's top seven or so.
How does it compare with the Sanderson Farms?
Sanderson Farms is very, very good. And the rooster, you know, imagine Sam Burns, right? Remember Sam Burns and then Bryson tweeting it out. Yeah, that one. That's a good one. I still think Rocket Mortgage is great because it's the circle and then it comes out of its own base. So it's like two trophies in one. That's top notch. Actually, the Bermuda trophy is pretty strong because Bermuda dive into the Bermuda Triangle. It's a triangle, which is such a sharp move. I don't know if I would have made it wood, but it's a pretty good trophy. Here we go.
Well, I like the chameleon
too. Look at it. Right, hot off the presses. I have not seen this yet. There it is. Victor with the colorful version of the chameleon trophy that can go with his all white version.
Very cool.
You love to see it. Absolutely love to see it. Good job, Jacob. I had not seen that yet. Very good.
It would be cool if they made it where the winner could personalize it in a way. I don't know how you do it. It's impossible. But if it all of a sudden became like a Norwegian flag or an Oklahoma State chameleon, that would be pretty
tricky. So do you guys have in your, sorry, Jacob, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, to Greg's point, this looks like whenever you were a kid in school and you would like glaze, you know, you would get like some animal and then you would paint it out of clay. Like this looks like what that is.
Do you guys have in like any town near you? Like in my hometown, there was, or the couple towns over, there was just like bears out in front of all of these businesses, and they were all painted differently. Sometimes you go to other towns and there'll be like some type of animal. That's, do you guys know what I'm talking about? That's what they should do. That's what they should do for this trophy, Greg.
Like a,
they
should like
just
a
let Victor paint it.
Because it's like a chameleon. They change colors all the, you know, it'd be, the winner gets a, yeah, custom paint job. I like that idea.
Rick, would that be like high schools around here all have different big rocks in front of them, and then you paint them for like the pep rally or, you know, school spirit day?
Yes.
Paint them every year. Champ gets to paint it. Or a custom paint job for the champ is probably better, because I don't think we want these guys actually painting it. It's probably not very pretty.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right. I was better than I thought it was going to be. Here we go. That'll do it for this week's Mayakoba Championship. We'll be back on Monday for a DFS preview pod for the Houston Open. Big thanks to producer Jacob. Does all the hard work behind the scenes. That right there, Greg Ducharme. You can find him on Twitter at TheRealGFD. And Mark Immelman, who you can find at Mark_Immelman. You can find me at Rick Ron Good. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
CBS Sunday, after the Equalizer.
You collect rewards, right?
This is how I make my living.
It's the season finale.
Everyone's looking for something.
Of Tracker.
You strong swimmer?
So-so.
So-so. So-so's okay.
Justin Hartley stars.
How you survive, you make quick, smart decisions. If you never let panic take the wheel.
Sounds cool.
It is cool, actually. Very cool.
Tracker, CBS season finale Sunday after the Equalizer on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.